We begin the current daf, Masechtas Nida, daf Chav Tes. We begin on the top of the Yom, where the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our previous Mishnah, which we're talking about, like the topic of this parak, Kamapelas, a woman miscarries something. So the Mishnah described Yatza Mechutach, the child comes out dismembered in pieces, a mesuris, or inverted, meaning to say breached, which instead of coming out the normal way, child head first, the child comes out with the legs feast. So Bechulu, regarding these two cases, the Mishnah said, until the majority of the child comes out, contrast when the head comes out first, then it's when at least the forehead, the child's already considered born. Here, until the majority of the child comes out, only then will the child be considered born for the mother to have a tum of yiladus. Now, regarding this halacha, the Gemara brings a machlekes, specifically regarding the case of mechutach, when the child comes out dismembered. When the child comes out dismembered, Amar Rabbi Lazar, he says, afilla haroishi mayan, even if one of the members, one of the parts of the limbs of the dead child comes out, one of them is the head, it's not considered significant to be considered a child, as the Mishnah said, until the majority of the child is born, even though the head came out. Rabbi Yechonam, he says, no, leishana ela she'en harishimon. This halacha that we said, the child's only born when it comes a dismembered, different limbs one at a time, is only without the head with it. Then you need the majority of the body. Avla harishimon, but if the head's with it, then our gear says harish paiter, but the gear says brought on the side is that it should say harehu kiyalad. Not that the head exempting. What are we talking about exempting what? We're talking about that as if the child is born, which is the context of the halacha of our Mishnah, in contrast to the halacha we're going to bring very shortly, that it's considered the child is born, and then the mother is going to have a tum of yiladus. So therefore the halacha is only without the head, but just as Rabbi Yechon, you're right, with the head, that itself would be considered the child is born. Says the Gemara, Lema b'dishmul kumiflagi, shall we say this machlegis, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yechonin, they're disagreeing in the halacha of Shmuel. Because the Amar Shmuel, he said, Ein ha-reish p'yta b'nefalim. He says, the head is not an exemption regarding to laws of b'chayra by a nefal, by a stillborn, by a child who cannot survive. The head coming out, unlike a regular healthy child, the head is considered significant that it's born. We don't say that by a nefal. So for example, let's say a woman gives birth to twins that are 7 months old. Now, one has already completed its form. The other one is an incomplete child. So the nephil, the stillborn, first has its head come out of the womb, and it goes back into the womb. And then the other brother comes out. So the halacha is, the second brother is considered a bechor according to Shmuel, even for the laws of kahuna, because although the head of the nephil came out first, and that was peiter the rechem, no, that's not considered something that's going to exempt the brother comes after it from bechor, because the head of the nephil of the stillborn is not considered significant. So it seems like that Rabbi Lazar, who says that the head is not going to have this halacha of being considered a leida, even if the head's coming out, you need to wait for the majority of the body to come out. He holds like Shmuel that says, yes, since this is a stillborn, this is a non-viable child, the head is not going to be significant. Whereas Rabbi Yechonah seems to disagree and says, no, the head, even by a nephil, will exempt. So says the Gemara, no. Actually, Bishalim, when the child is intact, because we're talking about in our Mishnah when they're dismembered, when the child is intact, even if it's a nephil, a stillborn, the Kulam Ale Pligi, actually no one disagree, that actually both hold not like Shmuel. Actually, both would hold that the head would be considered as if the child is born for the mother having to mislead them. Ki pligi b'mechutach. Their homachlekes is because the child is dismembered. The marsavar b'shalmud dekachashav. Rabbi Lazar held that, yeah, when is the head, even that of a nephil, considered significant to be considered a leida, is only when the child is intact, is one piece. B'mechutach like kachashav. But if the head's coming out as dismembered different pieces, that's not considered significant, and only when the majority of the body comes out will the child be considered a leida of lad. But Amar Savar b'mechutach nemechashav, Rabbi Yechon held that no, even if it's dismembered, it's still going to be considered significant to have halacha as a leida. And therefore again, both are not like Shmuel. The question is, what's b'mechutach? Would we still say the reish of a nephil is going to be considered chashav as a leida or not? Lishnach in another version, which this is brought in parentheses, seems to be like the first version. Time of the Yatzim Mechutach Imesuris. Sounds like that they're saying that in the halacha of Mishnah, because it came out dismembered or inverted, meaning leg first, so that's when they're having their discussion. Hakatiknoi, but if it came out in its normal way, Haresh Paiter, then the head would exempt. Says the Gemara, Tavai, Leslu de Shmuel. So obviously both of them are not like Shmuel. Because Amar Shmuel, he said, Ein Haresh Paiter in the Nephalim. The head does not exempt by Nephalim. So he would hold even when it comes out head first, it would not be considered a leida. And both of them are only talking about by Mechutach Imesuris. So that there's a discussion to if this is a text to be had in our Gersayis or to omit this text. But says the Gemara, the Gemara continues, there are those who learn this machlekes Rabbi Elazar and Yechanan in its own individual context, not a machlekes going on the halacha of our Mishnah. Now the difference between these two versions, as our Gemara is going to say straight up, is that according to the first version that said they were disagreeing in the halacha of our Mishnah, so the seemingly understanding was that they're going in the case of our Mishnah of mechutach, of when the child came out dismembered. So then you could say, like our Gemara had answered, to say that maybe when the child comes out intact, even Rebbe Elazar would agree that the halacha is not like Shmuel. He's only saying it in the case of mechutach, but Kuvim B'Shalom, he would agree that the head would be paiter. Whereas this version that says that they're saying it on their own sounds like it's going on all cases, even when it comes out intact, then it's going to have to be like our Gemara says, that they must be disagreeing in the halacha of Shmuel. As the Gemara says, that Amr Rebbe Elazar, saying independent of the halacha of a Mishnah, he said in general, Ein ha-roish k'rei ve'varm, the head is not considered like the majority of the limbs. Rather, if the head comes out, it's not going to be considered like the child is born, which, as Rashi points out, obviously is talking about by a nephil, by a non-viable child. Because if we're talking about a regular viable child, there is no one who says such a thing, because our Mishnah clearly says, Yotzeh Gedarkei, our Mishnah ends saying that if a child comes in the normal way, Mishnah Yotzeh Rev Resha, once the majority of the head comes out, it's really considered a Leita. So he must be talking about regarding a nephil, and he says that the head is not going to be like the majority of the limbs. It's not going to be considered a Leita. Whereas Rabbi Yechanan, he says, no, harish k'rei v'varm, the head is like the majority of the limbs. And once the head comes out, it's already considered later. Says the Gemara, according to this version, you have to say that the disagreement is in Shmuel, because not just in Mechudach, it's even by Shalem. And that's the machlekes, where one is like, Rabbi Elazar is like Shmuel, and Rabbi Yechanan disagrees with him. Now, however, Tanan, the Gemara asks on Rabbi Yechanan from the halacha of our Mishnah. And Mishnah said, Yatzeh Mechudach Oy Mesuras. As we quoted, if a child comes out dismembered or comes out breached, or it comes out legs first, so said the Mishnah, Mishnah Yatzeh Rubai Harei Kiyalad. Once the majority of the child comes out, only then is it considered as born. And then the mother has Tumas later. Now says the Gemara from the following inference. Midika Amar and the Gersa, the Bach adds on the word Oy, from the fact that the Mishnah said the case of Mechudach, and then it says Oy Mesuras, or when it's leg first. Now, Mechlal de Mechutach, the inference is the first case of dismembered, is Ketiknoi, is not Mesuras, is that it's coming out head first. And V'ka'amar, and the Mishnah is telling us, Mishiyatza Rubai Hareza Kiyala, when it comes out the majority of it, then it's going to be considered as born. Where you see that you do need a majority, even though it's head first. Kashla B'yechan, that's the Begon B'yechan, who he said that if the head comes out, it is sufficient to be considered later. So Amlach Rabbi Yechanan, he would say that no, Eima Yatzeh Mechutach U'Mesuras. It's not two cases, it's one case. You have to read the Mishnah saying that if the child comes out dismembered and inverted leg first, then it's only when it's Yatzeh Reisha, when Yatzeh Ruba, when the majority comes out. But if it actually comes out head first, actually the head would be enough. But says the Gemara, but V'ha'aykatani, how can you say it's one case? It says, or, that it sounds like it's two different cases. Says the Gemara, no, this is what the Mishnah was saying. And this is the way you have to read it. Yatzeh Mechutach Oy Shalim, the Oy is going on Shalim. And Mesuras is going and qualifying on both. If the child comes out dismembered or intact, Vizeh Mesuras. But both cases that we're talking about, whether intact or whether dismembered, it comes out leg first. Then Mishnah Yatzeh Ruba HaRezeh Kiyala. Then if it comes out the majority of the body, then it's considered as born. But if it would come out head first, then like Rabbi Yechanan says, it would be considered as a Leida, even if it's dismembered, as long as it's coming out head first. Now Amar Papa, he says that this Machlekes Amaram is Ketanoi. It's a Machlekes Tanoim, as we learn in the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Yatzeh Mechutach Oy Mesuras, if a child comes out dismembered or legs first, so Mishnah Yatzeh Ruba HaRei Kiyalad, once the majority of the body comes out, then it's considered as a Leida. Rabbi Yisayim, he says, Mishnah Yatzeh Ketikna, when it comes out in the normal way, which is head first. So the Gemara asks, in explanation, my comma, what's Rabbi Yisi saying when he says, oh, when it comes out ketiknoi, which it sounds like that he's saying, in disagreement with the Tanakama, that Mesuras, when it comes out leg first, not like the Tanakama, that even when it comes out a majority, it's not going to be considered as born. It's only going to be considered born as a Leida for Tumas Leida if it comes out head first. So is that really what he's saying? So Amar Papa, he says, no, Hachikama, this is what the discussion is. The Tanakhama, as Rav Papa is amending the Braisa, is saying, as we had mentioned before, Yatzeh Mechutach U'Mesuras, as we had amended to explain the halacha of our Mishnah, for B'yechanan, he says the same thing as in this Braisa. What the Tanakhama was saying was, one case, if the child comes out dismembered and legs first, so the Tanakhama was saying, Mishayatzeh Rubai HaRei U'Kiyalim, then when the majority of the child comes out, then it's considered as born. Now, the inference is, ha-ketiknoi, but if the child would come out head first, even if it's dismembered, ha-roish paiter, the head would exempt. That's like Rabbi Yechonah, so Tana comes like Rabbi Yechonah. Rabbi Yisim, he says, mishayatza rubai, when the majority of the child comes out, he's qualifying, he's disagreeing with the Tandakama. He says that's only if it's kitiknai, only if it's coming out the normal way, which means to say that he holds that you need to have both things by a dismembered child. You need to have not only that it's coming out through the head, but it also has to be the majority. So you see that Rabbi Elazar is like Rabbi Yasi, who says that you need to have the majority, even though it's coming out head first. So you see this machlekes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yechonah is a machlekes Tanai. However, Maskevler Rav Zvid asks on this interpretation how we're explaining the opinion of Rabbi Yasi, but you have the following problem. Mechlal, the inference is, as we were insinuating, as we were explaining Rabbi Yasi's opinion, to have been mesuris that when the child's coming out leg first, breached the inverted way, and it's dismembered, that Rubei Namilei Paiter, it sounds like that we were explaining Rabbi Yasi that even the majority of the child coming out would not exempt, meaning would not be considered as a Leida. In other words, the way the Gemara is understanding right now, in Rav Papa's interpretation, since Rabbi Yisi is not going on the inferential statement of the Tanakhama, rather he's going on what the Tanakhama was saying. What was the words of the Tanakhama? The way Rav Papa explained it, which Rav Zvid agrees to, is that if a child comes out dismembered and leg first, so said the Tanakhama, Mishayatza Ruba, then is considered later. On that, Rabbi Yisi came along and he said, no, even though majority came out, you still need that it should be kitikna, has to also be head first. Now the inference is, if it came out leg first, then even the majority is not going to exempt, meaning it's not going to be considered as a leida. But hakaimel under Rubik Kukula, we always know that Allah is, we go after the majority, it's like the whole thing. So if the whole child comes out, obviously the child is born, so then why, even if it comes out leg first, if the majority comes out, why wouldn't that be considered a leida, kontribuyesi? So Elamar of Zvid, Zvid agrees to the interpretation of Papa, but he amends the understanding of what Rabbi Yisi is going on, that he shouldn't have this difficulty. He says Rabbi Yisi is disagreeing with the diuk, the inference of the Tanakhama statement. And Hachikama, this is what the Tanakhama is saying, like Rav Papa said. Yatza machutachu mesaris. If the child comes out dismembered and leg first, said the Tanakhama, mishayatza rubai harezi kiyalad. When the majority of the child comes out, then it's considered as born. Now, the inference is, as we said, and this is what Rabbi Yisi is going to be going on, hakatiknai, but if the child comes out head first, then Haresh Peter, then the head is going to exempt, even though the child is dismembered. Now, on that Rabbi Yisi, he says, on the inference, he was saying, no, the head does not exempt. Rather, Mishayatza Ketiknoi, when do we say when it comes out head first in a normal way, like other children that come out? That's only Lechayim, if it's coming out to life. But if it's coming out dismembered, even though it's coming out head first, the head is not going to exempt until the majority of the body comes out. And therefore, Rabbi Yisi is not difficult, because of course we do. He would agree if it's coming out leg first, the majority comes out, it's considered later. He was disagreeing on the inferential statement of the Tanakam. It says Gemara Tanam Alcha, similar in the Braisa. Yatzim Chutach, and the Gears is Umisurus, as we explained. If the child comes out dismembered, cut up, and inverted, leg first, Mishayatza Ruba, once the majority of the child comes out, then it's considered as if the child's born. Now, as we said, the inference is Hakatikna, but if it comes out in its normal way head first, even if the child is dismembered, the Tanakhama holds, Haresh Paiter, the head's going to exempt. That's like we said, that's like the interpretation of Rabbi Yechonah. Rabbi Yisimer, which we say is like Rabbi Lasser, he says, Mishayatza Ketikna L'chaim, it's when it comes out in its normal way to life, that's when the head's going to exempt, as we say this halacha in our Mishnah. But if it's dismembered, even if it's coming out head first, then you need to have the majority of the body. And says the Braisa Bezer, Kritik Nilchayim, what's the halacha of when it comes in its normal way to life, then when the head comes out, then it's going to be considered a child? At what point is that? So the Tanakhama says the Braisa, Mishayatza Reiv Reisha, when the majority of the head comes out. Now, Bezehu Reiv Reisha, what's considered majority of the head? So in our Mishnah, we had one opinion. Here we have a few opinions. Rabbi Yisam, he says, Mishayatza Tzedav. Once the temples, which are the side on the top of the head near the ear, the payas, that's considered the birth of the child. Abachan Mishum Rabbi Shua, he said, Mishayatza Padachta, once the forehead comes out, like we said in the Mishnah. V'yashayim Mishayiro Karnei Reisha. And some say that when you see the horns of the splendor of the head, it means to say the height of the head near the back of the skull, that's considered that the head is out to be considered the Leida of the child. Now, continuing with the Nehalocha of the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the Mishnais of this perk of Hamapelis, if a woman miscarries, so it says that Mishnah, Hamapelis ve'in yudu mahu. If a woman miscarries, doesn't know what. Was it a boy? Was it a girl? She knows it was a child, just doesn't know what the gender was. So says the Mishnah, Teshev Lazachum Nekeba. So then she has to have the halachas of Tumas Leida for the stringency of a boy or a girl, which means to say that the Mei Tara are limited to that of a boy that have 40 days, and the Mei Tumah are the maximum that of a girl of 14 days. So 14 days of Tumah, and then the remaining days till 40 of Tahara. Says the Mishnah, Ein Yudua Im Vlad Hoyim Lav. Let's say she doesn't know if what she miscarried was a child at all or not. So then Teshev Lazachar Ula Nekeva Ula Nida. Then we consider her as a possible giving birth to a boy, possible to a girl, or possible that maybe when she had this dam, it wasn't a vlad at all. It was like anida, where a menstruating woman, where she doesn't have any metara at all, because maybe it wasn't a child at all. Now the Gemara is going to explain, so then why did we mention the element of maybe having a boy? Since anyways we're saying there's no Yimei Tahara to say, oh, we have the stringency of the limitation of the Yimei Tahara, and if it's regarding, because she might be a need, like we said, might not have been a child at all, and if it's regarding Tumas Leida, it's subsumed in the days of Tumas Leida of a girl. So the Gemara will explain what's the utility of describing that there's a stringency of maybe it was a boy. If anyways we're going stringency of a girl or no baby at all. Now the Gemara introduces the following halacha that relate back to the halacha of our Mishnah. Amr Bishuma Levi says, Avra Nahar Vehepila. If a woman was walking through a river, a stream, and she miscarried. Now she doesn't know what it was. Was it a navel, a stillborn? Was it wind? Because it fell into the water. She doesn't know what came out of her body. So says Bishuma Levi, Mevia Karban Menoichel. She could bring a carbon of Leda, and the carbon is eaten. Why? Although it could be considered as a nevela, if it's not a carbon. Because halachach Rav Nashim go after the majority of women. Rav Nashim, Vlad Mal Yaldin. Most women, what comes out of the body, if their stomach is expanding, is a child. And therefore we assume it was a child, and we could go after the laws of majority and actually eat that carbon. We don't consider that as a nevela, even though we do malika on the carbonas. So the Gemara asks, but it's not in our Mishnah that said, Ein yidum vad hayu. If a woman miscarried something, doesn't know what it was, if it was even a child. So the Mishnah said, Teshev Lazachar Ulnekeva Ulanida. Says the Gemara, my Teshev Lanida. Based on what Yerushalmi Levi says, why are we considering her as a possible Nida, which we said means say she gets no Yimei Tara at all, just as like a menstruating woman? Why? She should have at least the Yimei Tara of a boy, because Lema Halachach Rev Nashim. We should say we should go after the majority of women. Rev Nashim, Vlad Mal Yaldin. Most women, like you just said, give birth to a child. Why are we suspecting and presuming that she could be a nida and that she doesn't get Yimei Tara? Says the Gemara, Masnitin Bishle Huchziku Ubra. Our Mishnah is talking about where she wasn't presumed yet to be pregnant. We know something came out of her body. We don't know what it was. When Bishum Levi say that we could presume that it was a child, is Kisha Huchziku Ubra. When it was presumed, we saw she was pregnant. Then once a woman's pregnant, we know if something's coming out, we're presuming to be a child. But if we didn't know and then something comes out, then it might not have been a child, and therefore that's where our Mishnah suspects that we shouldn't give any Meitar at all. Now, but the Gemara continues asking Toshima. And the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Behema Shayatsa Malaya. An animal that went out full, meaning that it was extended, that it was pregnant, and it went out to graze in the forest. Uva, and that same day, it came back reconnaissance empty. You could tell that it lost something from inside. So says the Braisa, Haba Acharav Bachar Safik. So the next animal that comes out is going to be, because it never had given birth before this animal, the next animal is going to be a doubtful Bukhar, because maybe this first thing that was let out of its body, which we don't know, was in the forest somewhere, was a child. Maybe the next one is not a Bukhar, or maybe what came out first was just wind, the sack of wind, and the next thing that comes out is the first child, which should be a bona fide Bukhar. So since it's a doubt, so the halacha is that the owner gets to keep this firstborn animal and could eat in a blemished state, and it doesn't have to go to the kohen because I might smear a varaya. What, this second animal might not be the bukhar. So it's a mumminess thing. We say that the kohen would have to prove it, which he can't, and therefore the owner gets to keep it and eat it, and it's a blemished state. And that has the Gemara in Reb Shuma Levi, but vamai, why is this halach like this? Halach acharev behemis. We should go after the majority of animals. Now, barev behemis, vlad ma'aliyah, yaldin, most animals, when it gives birth, it's giving birth to a bona fide child. So the high pashtut, so we should say that this second child that's being born, the first one that we're seeing, but the second thing coming out of it, is for sure not a bukhar. And therefore, why are you saying the owner could keep it, but he has to eat in a blemished state? He should be able to eat without a blemish, because we know for sure, based on the laws of majority, the first one that came out when they went into the forest was the bukhar. So Rabbeinu says, no, because Mishum Deikulamim, you could say a following concept. Rav Bahimus Yaldas Dava Paitim Bukhar. Right, most animals give birth to something that would exempt the next child from the next animal being born from the laws of the firstborn. But Umiyutin Yaldas Dava Shayna Paitim Bukhar. There's a minority that would give birth to something that wouldn't exempt the next animal from Bukhar because it was just a sack full of ear, it wasn't a child. Now, but additionally, there's the following concept. V'chala Yaldas Mitanfais. all animals that give birth, they have, a day before the birth comes out, they soil. Something of a liquid, a thick liquid comes out that they soil. Now, bezu hoil v'lay tinfah, this animal, the day before, didn't have any filth, any soil coming out, which is before it gives birth, it has this liquid that comes out the day before. So isla ruba, so it lost its majority of saying that, oh, when it went out today was a child. If it was a child, it would have had this tinnitus the day before, which it didn't have. Therefore, we're not going to go after the law's majority and know with definitive that it was a bukhar and that the second one should be a pasha. On that, the Gemara asks, based on that interpretation, ikal ha-yoldis metamfis, if every animal gives birth the day before it soils, but here where it didn't soil, it didn't have this liquid come out of it, so b'char ma'alyu, to the contrary, the second animal should be a bona fide b'char, because we know for sure it was not a child. So Zezigma, you're right. Eleimah, rather say like this. Rav yaldas metamfis. The majority of those who give birth soil the day before. Only majority, not all. Now, b'zu hoil loy tinfah, here, since it didn't soil, so isla ruba, this majority is a flaw in the earlier majority. Yes, we have a majority that most of the time we say that it's a vlad ma'alya. But we said we don't go with that. It's still a suffet because you have another countering rive that it would have saw the day before. So because of that, that's why it's in the situation of doubt. Now, however, Kiyasa Rav and Amo, when Rav came, he said the following, that must have Reb Yisi Reb Chanina. Reb Chanina asked on this teaching of Reb Shuman Levi, Toya, from the Braisa that talks about a woman that is in error, that she doesn't know the time when she gave birth, when she miscarried, whatever it was that caused her to have a Tumah Viladis. And that was his question in Shuman Levi's teaching. Says Ravin, I don't know what his question is from that Braisa, which the Gemara says, Mahi. What was Rabbi Yisrael Hanina's Braisa that he was asking on Shuman Levi, to which the Gemara is going to explain why Ravin doesn't understand why that's a question? Is the time, like, when the Braisa, the Ketintam and Base. The Braisa says the following case. Isha Shiatasa Malaya Uvar Rikanas. Similar to the case of the animal that we described. A woman that leaves pregnant, full, and she comes back empty. At a later point in time, much later. And she doesn't know when the pregnancy was lost. When did it come out of her body, which would give her a tumah viladis. Doesn't know when it happened. But vevi lefaneinu, in other words, from when she came in front of us, when she came back home, she already sat in front of us, shleisha shivu and tahirin. For 3 weeks we saw that she has no dam coming out of her body. At all. Including the day that she came. Which, as Rashi says, is not so precise, because actually the day that she came is a suffix if she's tame, but wasn't 3 weeks of tahara, because maybe this day, right before she came, she comes during the day, maybe right before she came, she actually had a re'iyah of dam then. So, although that we're calling it 3 weeks of tahara, Rashi points out because it's going on from here and on. Because at this point, actually, the Gemara assumes that she came to us during the daytime. But what it means to say is from that point on, when she saw us, she didn't have a re'iyah of dam for 3 weeks straight. Then the case continues. Vasara shvuos, and then the subsequent 10 weeks, the way her body worked was echad tamei. 1 week, every single day, she had tumah, she had riyah of dam. Ve'echad tar, and then the next week, which these are alternating weeks, every single day of that week, she was tar, she didn't have riyah of dam. So says the Gemara as follows. The Braisa says the following halacha. Mishameshes la'ar shleishim v'chamish. She could have marital relations on the night of the 35th day, which is at the end of the 5th week, which is the beginning of the night of the 35th day, right after the 34th day. Then she can't have relations anymore again. As the Gemara will explain later on, and also why did it have to say specifically this case that it's describing of 13 weeks, 3 weeks of Tahara, and then 10 weeks of alternating, 1 week Tameh, 1 week Tar, Tameh Tar, Tameh Tar, Tameh Tar, and so on and so on. So the only night she's able to have relations is the night of the 35th day, not before, not after. Additionally, says the Braisa, say, she has to immerse herself in the mikveh 95 times because of the halachic concept known as tefillah bizman mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to immerse exactly at the time when you could. Now, all of these times will be elaborated later on. Now, but because of these 95 immersions, that's why the Braisa spoke about a case of 13 weeks. Because of the doubt of the time of her immersion extends for a period of 11 and a half weeks. Now, once we had to say half of the 12th week, so we spoke about the entirety of the 12th week. And now, once we mentioned, as we're going, Tameh, Tameh, Tar, Tameh, Tar, so once we mentioned the 12th week, which is the week of Tameh, so therefore they said also the 13th week, which is the week of Tar. As Gemara is going to explain later on this case. That's what Bishami says. B'Yisilim, they say Shleish HaMechamish. Yisil say, as the Gemara on the next daf will explain their opinion, that no, all you have to have is 35 immersions, but both of them hold this halacha concept as tefillah b'zman mitzvah. That the right when you could, the earliest time, there's a mitzvah to immerse right then. You don't wait till after all the doubts have evolved. Whereas Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, he says, no, daila tefillah shetebachrin, this is enough to immerse one time at the end when she's done and we know for sure that she's tar, because he doesn't hold the halacha concept of tefillah b'zman mitzvah, that there's a mitzvah to immerse exactly at the earliest time that you could. But one thing, now the Gemara concludes its refutation. What was the question that was being asked on the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Levi as follows? Bishlam Shavua Rishon. We understand the first week, which again, as we said, is including the day that she came in front of us, that's included in the first week. We understand why it was said in the Braisa that Loi Mishameshes, that she can't have marital relations. Why? Emer Yoled Zachari. We have to be in doubt. We have to say that maybe she gave birth to a boy. Now, every single day of the first week, we could be in doubt that maybe on the day that she came in front of us, that she gave birth, one moment before she came in front of us. So that would mean all these 7 days are the tumas leida of a boy. So if she came the moment before she miscarried, and 2 minutes later she walks into bez and she comes back, so these first week of the 7 days is the tumas leida of a boy. So obviously she can't have mad relations, she's tummy. Now, Shabur Sheni, I understand the second week also, Emer Yoledes Nekevah. We can say that maybe right before she came, she gave birth to a girl. So the days of Tumah of Leda go for 2 weeks, which is 14 days. So we understand why the second week also she can't have relations. Shavua Shlishi, the third week I also understand, Emer Yoledes Nekevah B'Zayvi. Maybe not only did she give birth to a girl, she also did it in a state of Ziva. Meaning maybe the birth was within those 11 days of Yimei Ziva. And additionally, she saw blood for 3 straight days without childbirth pains, which before she gave birth, she was calm. So therefore, then she has to additionally have 7 clean days for her Ziva, what's called Shiva Nekiyim. Now, although she has 14 days that we're describing that she's not having Dam, but since you could be in doubt regarding that maybe there was a childbirth, so those 2 weeks of childbirth, because we're saying maybe it's in the cave of Bezayim, they won't help and they won't be sufficient because this Tana holds that the days of childbirth that she doesn't see Dam doesn't help for the counting of 7 clean days of the Ziva. So that would have to be an additional week, that of the third week, where she has to have Shiva Nekiyim, she can't have relations yet. So fine, I understand, says the Gemara, the first 3 weeks. El Shavu Revi'i, but the fourth week. If we say that the majority of women, like Rabbi Shimon Levi says, give birth to a child, and we presume that to say that there was a child over here, because we know this woman was pregnant, so then, Afagav de Kochaz Yadam, even if, like we're saying, only the first 3 weeks, remember, she didn't see Dam. And starting the fourth week, she's seeing Dam, still as the Gemara, according to Bishu Malevi Tishtamish, she should be able to have relations, because even though she's seeing Dam, like we said, because this is the first of the 10 weeks, after the 3 weeks that she was clean, you're seeing Echatam and Echatar, so even if she's seeing Dam, says the Gemara, she should still be able to have relations. Why? Do Dam Tarhu, it's pure blood. Because we know for sure she gave birth, like Rabbi Shimon Levi, we're presuming that to be. And therefore, you're still within the 40 days, which is the smallest amount of Yemei Tahara V'Zachar, she's still within 40 days when you're in 4 weeks. 7, 7, 7, 7, you're still within day 40. Says the Gemara, La Mishum Deleiz Lina Basaruba, that was the question being asked in Rabbi Shimon Levi. Isn't it obvious that you don't go after the law as a majority? And therefore, no, we're in doubt that maybe there was no child here at all. And therefore, maybe there's no Dam Tahir. And therefore, the blood that's coming out could be Dam Nido or whatever it is. And therefore, that's difficult in Rabbi Shimon Levi. So says the Gemara, you're right. So Ella, rather, my lo yadana, my tiyufta. What was Rabban saying that he doesn't know why this is a refutation in Rabbi Shimon Levi from this Braisa? Says the Gemara, no, the reason why we don't give this woman Yimei Tahara in the fourth week is not because, not like Rabbi Shimon Levi, that, oh, because maybe there was no child here at all. No, it says Ravin Eimer Hechikele Das, as we said this concept earlier, said that maybe the birth was a long time ago before she came in front of us. Yes, we're in doubt, maybe it happened right before, but maybe it happened a long time ago and the Yimei Tahara have already finished. Yes, she has Yimei Tahara, but maybe it's finished already. And therefore, actually, Rashi points out, we could say regarding a carbon, yeah, like Rabbi Shimon Levi said, she would bring a carbon and it would be eaten because whether it was a short while ago or a long time ago, they would still obligate in a carbon because we actually do go based on laws of majority. It's just that Yimei Tahara she can't have because maybe that was already finished a long time ago. That was Ravin's response why he didn't understand why it's a question. Now, once we introduce the Braisa, the Gemara continues elaborating and elucidating the Braisa. So the Gemara wonders, okay, we understand the first week, second week, third week, fourth week. Says the Gemara, Bahach Shavua Chamishi, the Tarhu, but the fifth week when she's Tahar, because even though the whole fourth week she was seeing Dam, At most, as we're going to elaborate, it was nida, because she can't be a ziva because she didn't see dam for 3 weeks beforehand. So at most, she was a nida. So even if she saw dam, you don't need to have shiva nikim for nida. You could see blood all 7 days and then still immerse afterwards. So in the fifth week when she's tar, so teshamis, should she be able to have relations the whole fifth week? Why do you say that no, she can't have relations the whole fifth week until the end of the fifth week? Like we said, until the night of the seventh, until the night of the 35th day. Why? She should be able to have relations the whole fifth week. Says Gemara, no, because Hach Shavu Revi, this fourth week, like we said, which was the first of the alternating weeks of Tameh, that she saw dam every single day, every single day, you could be in doubt, maybe it's the end of the Yimei Tahara of childbirth. In other words, maybe yesterday was the dam was dam Tahara, because it's within the days of, whether she gave birth to a girl or a boy, you have days of Tahara, 40 days, all blood is considered Tahara. And maybe today is a bit chilas nida. Maybe today is only the beginning of the menstruation blood that's metamic. So therefore, the esmin b'timani gufe, on the 28th day itself, which is the end of the fourth week when she was seeing dam, that last day we're in doubt. Emet chilas nida. Maybe that's the beginning of the dam of nida. It's not like that the first day was and then all 7 days and then she cleans up and she could go and she could have relations. No, because those dam might not have been nida. It might have been the mei tahara. It's therefore the last day could have been tchilas nida. Boy lemesiv shiva lenidas, and therefore she has to count 7 days for her nida, starting from day 28, and then she has to count from the fifth week 6 days to complete and supplement the 7 days of yimei nida. And therefore, in the night of the seventh night of the fifth week, then she could immerse herself and have relations, because the day of nida, the first one, day 28, is counted. It doesn't have to have shiva nikiyim regarding the biblical law of nida, which is the night of the 35th night that comes in front of us. Therefore, that's the night that she could have relations. Now, however, the night of the 8th day, which is the beginning of the 6th week, like we said, only the night of the 35th day, not before, not after. Why not after? She can't have relations then either. The reason for that is because we said the whole 6th week, she's tummy. She was seeing dam, which, as we're going to explain later on, because she in all these weeks when she was tummy, she has a re'iyah already from the evening that she started re'iyah. So the only time possible is the end of the clean week of the fifth week, which is the night of the 35th night. But from that point on, she can't have relations forever, because maybe, like we said, the fourth week was the beginning of Nida. Comes out that the sixth week is during the days of Ziva, because it goes 7-11, 7-11, and so she's a Zava. So then it comes out that the seventh week, although she's Tar, but you can't do the last night because you have to count it as Shiva Nikiyim. You have to have clean days if she's a Zava. Now, truth is, if she hadn't seen in the evening, then she'd be able to have relations on the night of the beginning of the eighth week, where although that she could immerse herself on the seventh day, because we say Miktsasim Kakula regarding the Svira of counting of Shiva Nikiyim, still she cannot have relations during the daytime, as we're going to explain later on, because we're going like Rav Shimon, who says you'd not have relations in the day until you get to the evening. And so to on all the weeks that she has a tumor, we have to suspect that maybe they're days of Ziva, and then you have to have Shiva Nikiyim. So therefore comes that the whole clean week is not a time that she could have relations. It's counting the first seven clean days, and then right when you've done the seven clean days, that night when they want to have relations is already the week of tumor. But like we said, the one exception is the fourth week, where there, Maman of Shach, either way you look at it, you can't be in doubt that maybe it's Ziva, because like we said, Ziva only comes after days of Nida, and she already had 3 weeks that she was tar in front of us. It's only in the fourth week that she has a Re'iyah of Dam, so therefore, the most that's going to be in doubt is that maybe it's the beginning of her Nida, of her menstruation halacha, with that you could be in doubt, and therefore that's why in the fifth week, all you have to count is an additional 6 days, because of the doubt of the last day of the fourth week might have been the beginning of her tchilas nida, which says day one, and you only need another 6 days, and then even if you're seeing dam the whole time, even you could immerse in the last day of the clean week of the fifth week, of the night of the 35th is the only day that she could have relations. Because from then on, you're already in mesubik of zava. So the Gemara says, fine, but Gemara has a different question. Be'esrim v'cha, on the 21st day, which is the end of the third week, tishamish, she should be able to have relations. Why? Because even if let's say she had a child the day right before she came in front of us, but still the days of Tuma, which are 2 weeks, and the seventh day of her Shiva Nikiyim of counting have already been concluded by day 21. Now the reason for this is because the halach is, as the Gemara says in the first paragraph of Masechta Yumin, Vav Med Aleph, the immersion of Zav and Zava specifically, not like a Nida has to be after the seventh day at nighttime. Zav and Zava, since we say mixas yom kekulei, partial of the day is like the whole day, they're allowed to go ahead and immerse themselves in the seventh day itself. So therefore, on the 21st day, during the daytime, before nighttime, because nighttime is when you already start the fourth week of Re'i Avdam, in the third week at the end, on day 21, she should be able to have relations, because then you finish the first 2 weeks, and the seventh day of Shem Nekim, in the seventh day, it's already Kekulei, you're like, you're done the Shem Nekim, you could immerse, and the Zavet Zav allowed to immerse it to, and then she can have relations during that day, before the evening. Says the Gemara, no, because Reb Shimon here, the Brice is going like Reb Shimon. The Talmud that he says is brought in the Brice in Taras Kayanim, he says, Asal Asaskin. It's forbidden to do this, what we just recommended, for the Zava to have relations on the day that she immersed of the seventh day, because Shema Tavla, day Suffolk, that might come to a situation of doubt, because she might have relations when it's still the seventh day after she had relations. So let's say at 1 o'clock she goes and immerses Yavrubi Kekulei, at 3 o'clock she has relations, and at 5 o'clock, before it gets dark, she has a Re'i Avdam. Now what that does is, if you have a Re'i Avdam when it's still within 7 days, although we said Rubik Akula, but you're still in the seventh day, that actually undoes all the Shem Nekim. It's as if she wasn't clean all 7 days. So it comes out that she was a Zava and he had relation with a Zava, which is biblically prohibited, and therefore he says you now have relations, because you might come to a situation of doubt that she might have a Re'i Avdam during that seventh day. But the Gemara continues asking. It says, okay, so the 21st day you can't, but Lo Urta Tishamish. That night, the following night, the night of the fourth week, she should be able to have relations. Why? Because the assumption of the Gemara right now is that she, all the time that we said a week on, week off of having Re'iya, was during the daytime, which is all those weeks were only started during the daytime. Now, so therefore, although we said that this whole fourth week is the beginning of the week that's Tama, but the night before, at the beginning of the week at nighttime, she's still Tara. So she should be able to have relations that night, because then you're already done with your Shiva Nikim. Says the Gemara, no, Kisharasa Be'er. We're talking about that she saw in the evening, and all these weeks we're talking about, the weeks that she was Tamei, she started seeing in the evenings, and therefore you don't have that option of immersing and going having relations that night, because she already saw in the beginning of that week, already in the night. Fine. That concludes the discussion regarding that the only time possible for her to have relations, this woman that we described, is the beginning of the 35th night. Then there was another halacha we mentioned regarding the amount of tefillos she has to do. So Beishami's opinion was, Matpilan Isa Tishim Khamish Tvilis. She has to immerse herself 95 times. So the Gemara explains why. Shavua Kama Matvil Naisa Bilal Vasa. The first week, we immerse her in every single night. Why? Because every single night, and that's what we'll describe, that some immersions are during the daytime, because that you could immerse during the daytime, like we said, Zav and Zava, and some at nighttime, because you could only immerse at nighttime, like we said regarding the Nida. So saying this first week, every single night, because this might be the night, which Tevil Bezman and Mitzvah is that concept, the first time you could, then you have a Mitzvah to Tevil. Every single night, she has to immerse herself in the Mikvah, because every single night you could be in doubt, that maybe this was the end of the 7 days of her birth, of the boy that she had, and you have Tevil Bezman and Mitzvah. As we said, we have to say, maybe she gave birth to a boy, and we don't know. Maybe it was 7 days ago, and this first night, okay, is the end of the Tumas Leda of the boy, and tomorrow might have been the 7 day, and so on, and she might have given birth right before she came in front of us. So the last day of the first week is the end of the Shiva. So every single day, every single night, she has to immerse herself. That's why there's 7 times in week one. Shavua Sheni Matpil Noisa B'Lel Vasa. The second week, so we make her immerse every single night. Why? We have to say that maybe she gave birth to a girl, so every single night you have to be in doubt. Maybe this is the end of the 2 weeks of the Tuma of Leda of a girl. And so to the last night we're in doubt, maybe the day she came in front of us right before she gave birth, and now at the end of the 2 weeks is when you're ending the 2 weeks of the Tumas Leda. So every single night of the second week, you have to be in doubt. Maybe this is the end of the 2 weeks. Now additionally, not only is the second week are you making her immerse every single night, be mama, every single daytime too in the second week she's immersing. Nighttime and daytime. Why? Amy led the Zachar B'Zayfi. We have to say, and we're suspecting, all these are doubts, that maybe she gave birth to a boy in the state of Ziva. So it comes out that the first day of the second week, we have to say that maybe 7 days before she came in front of us, she gave birth. Therefore comes out that the first week that she was here was actually the counting for the Shiv and the Kiyam of him of her being a Zava. So therefore tomorrow in the beginning of the second week, she has to immerse herself for the finishing of her Ziva. And so too every single day in the second week. Every single day we have to be in doubt that maybe some of the first week was actually part of the Yimei Leida, because we don't know. Maybe it was only right before. And only now is it concluding the days of the Sefira. Now, however, but the first week, we only said she immerses at nighttime, not during the daytime, even though, why? Every single day you could be in doubt that maybe she had given birth a while before and now she's finishing the days of the Sefira of Yoledes, Bezoiv of a Zachar. No, because as Rashi explains, this Tana holds that we need to have the Shiva, 7 days of Nikiyim, definitively in front of us. Now, this that happened beforehand, we're not sure, were they Nikiyim, were they not? As the Gemara explains this later on, therefore that wouldn't help. And therefore the first week we don't have to have her immersed during the daytime. Now additionally, the last day of the first week, Rashi actually points out, does require immersion. Because you still have the doubt that maybe now it did finish the sphere of the Shiva Nikim, because you have 7 clean days, and maybe it was during the 7th day already, which we said that day already is the Shiva Nikim, you could already immerse then. So Rashi says that later on the Gemara is going to ask them and explain that, yeah, one immersion of a week we're not counting. We're talking in weeks over here. 1 week all the nights, and 1 week nights and days. 1 day, which is the last day of the first week. You're right. Rashi points out that it requires immersion, but that we're not mentioning over here. So that's for, again, first week, every night. Second week, every night and every day. Shavu Shlishi, the third week. Matbilan la biyamama, we have her immersed every single day, because Emir, you led this Nikeva Bazaifi. We say that maybe she gave birth a girl in the state of Ziva. So every single day you could be in doubt that maybe now finish the days of Sphira where the immersion is during the daytime. So therefore, on day one, you say, okay, maybe 6 days before she came in front of us, she gave birth to a girl. And therefore you have the 2 weeks, which with including then comes to a total of 20 days, and today is day 21, which is day one of the third week, which is the end of the sphere. Now, same thing is the next day. Next day you could say, oh, maybe only 5 days before she came in front of us to give birth, and now it's finished. And so on and so forth until the last day that you could say, maybe the day she came, she gave birth to the girl, and only now is it concluding the 2 weeks of the Nikeva and the week of Ziva, which is throughout the third week. So that's therefore she has to immerse every single day during the third week. Now says the Gemara, Belel Vasa, now regarding the nights of the third week, we have her immerse herself, even though there's no doubt regarding the third week that it could be, what do you mean, nighttime? Nighttime is only for Leda of a girl that already that finished the second week. That's not in the third week. So why would we have to have her immerse every single night that the Bryce is counting so many immersions? B'shamel Tamayu, B'shamel going according to their reasoning, the Amri that they say in the last paragraph of Ayin Aleph and Beis, who are coming to explain B'shamel's opinion of how you have 95 immersions, that he holds Tfulas Yom Arach, he holds his unique halacha regarding Yeledes. Meaning generally there's a concept called of Tful Yom. Tful Yom is a person who was Tamei, then immersed himself that day, which that purifies him, but let's say for the laws of Meister, but for most things he's considered Tamei until the evening. So that's considered Tful Yom. Then there's a long Tful Yom, which refers to a Yeledes, a woman gave birth. The reason why she's considered a long Tful Yom is because after the 14 days of when she was Tamei for birth, then for the next 66 days, she has like that intermediate status of a Tful Yom, where she cannot partake of Truma until the days of Tahara, which is up until day 80s. The 80 have passed, like the Pasad B'chal Kaidish Le'sigish Nala partake of Truma for all those days. So Bishami holds that this year led this for all those days, that at the end of that, Bayit Tfila. She has to immerse herself at the end, the beginning of the 81st night, at the end of the 80 days. Also, therefore, this adds on a whole lot new of immersions, because every single night now, until the end of the 80 days, we can be in doubt. We don't know when she gave birth. It could have been a long time ago. It could have been right before. It could have been a day before, two before, or whatever, three before. Every single day you have to be in doubt. Maybe this is the end of the 80 days from when she came in front of us. Now, although the first week, then you could say the same thing. So Rashi points out, yeah, the first week, anyway, she's immersing every single night because of the suffix of Leda of a Zachar. But one thing is, you have to add on all those nights now until the 80, that we know for sure we're done with 80 days of Leda, to say that maybe she had the Tumah of Leda, and now all the Meitara, at the end of that, she has to immerse. This might be day 81, this might be day 81, and so on and so forth, until when you know for sure that you're done. So the Gemara concludes now on the top of Laman Ralph and explains. Okay, so Mechti, let's see. Yimei Tahara Kamahaba. So how long does the Yimei of Tahara extend for this doubt after the first 2 weeks that every single day we have to say, oh, maybe this is the end of the 80 days. Maybe this is. It's Shita and Beshita. It's another 66 days besides the first 2 weeks. Like we said, the first 2 weeks of Tumah, which we have our calculations of how many immersions you have to do because of Tumah of Yoledes, you immerse after that, and the suffix of Ziva. So that makes for a total of 80 days, the first 2 weeks, and another 66 days, which that's the classic halacha of Yoledes of Nekeva. So from those 66 days, we said every single night you have to immerse. That's 66 immersions. Now, from those 66, we already counted 7 from the third week. I mean, we're talking about the first 2 weeks, and then you made Tahara is 66 days. So the third week we already counted anyway, because of the doubt that we said of as we described it regarding Giledis, Bezav, and the Keva. So that's already included for the amount of immersions we need to have of the Tfilos Yom Arach. So Dal Shvu Gimel Dat Tfilinla. So okay, take out of that count the third week where we're saying there's immersion anyway. So how much are you left with? That you have to, that you count because of Bisham's opinion of Tfilos Yom Arach. You're left with 60 minus 1, which is 59, because you have the 66 minus the 7 that we counted anyway in the third week. So you have 59 immersions that to have the calculations that she still has to immerse because of this doubt that comes up for the next 10 weeks. Like we said, because of this doubt of Tfilos Yom Arach. So says the Gemara, so Shittin Nechichado, so okay, fine. There's 59 more immersions because of Bisham is Tfilos Yom Arach that every single night she doesn't have to immerse herself. And you have a Betlas and Vehe. You have the 35 that we already counted that she has to immerse in the first 3 weeks. Like we said, the first week, every single night, that's 7. In the next 2 weeks, the week 2 and week 3 is a total of 28 immersions, because we said you have to immerse, according to Bishami, every night and every day for those next 2 weeks, which makes for a total of 35. So says the Gemara, so that total calculation comes out to be Tishn V'dal Havin, that's 94 immersions. Tishn V'chamish, Ma'ayv V'detayr, how does Bishami come to the number of 95 immersions? So Rabbi Yirmiyahu Medifti says, it's Toma specific case. K'gan Shabbos L'faneinu Bein Hashmashes, but Toma, where this woman comes to us by twilight of the evening. So that we require her to have one more immersion, because as Rash explains, up until now the Gemara had assumed that she came in front of us during the daytime. So Rash gives an example, like for example, she comes to us on Rish Chedesh Nisan, and then we have her immersed that night, and then her 80 days continue, 30 days of Nisan, 29 of Iyar, 21 of Sivan. That's the end of the 80 days. So you have the 80 immersions at the nighttime, and you have the 14 of the days of the first 2 weeks, meaning of the first 3 weeks, you have 2 weeks of daytime, which is the second and the third week. That makes for a total of 94. But now that we explained that she came in front of us by Bein Hashmashos of the nighttime, which is Rish Chodesh, we have her immersed that nighttime because of a suffix of the end of her tumah. But still, the 80 days are going to end on the 21st of Sivan, as if she came during the daytime of Rish Chodesh, because we're in doubt. Maybe that Bein Hashmashos, which is always a doubt regarding twilight, that she gave birth, maybe it's from Rish Chodesh. So that immersion that she does the night of Rish Chodesh is being added on, because it comes out that she's having 8 immersions in the first week, and she's having 28 in week 2 and week 3, which makes for a total of 36, not 35, like we said. Which Rashi's bothered by this. Why does the Gemara have to say she came by Bein Hashmashos? Why can't the Gemara just say she came in front of us at nighttime? So Rashi says, because it's logical to say Bein Hashmashos, because if one infers from the terminology of the Mishnah that says that for 3 weeks she was Tahar, so therefore that would make more sense to say it's talking about a case of Bein Hashmashos, where it could be this first day she was Tahar. Because maybe Bein Hashmashos was from during the day of the previous day, and therefore this day was totally Tahar. But again, still her immersions are going to have to extend until 80 days besides this day, because Bein Hashmashos ultimately is doubt. Maybe it's from the nighttime, maybe it's from the daytime. So therefore, that's why ultimately for Bishamay, we have for this woman that we described of the 3 weeks of Tahar. We don't know when she gave birth, what it was. And then for the remaining 10 weeks alternating Tameh and Tahar, Tameh and Tahar, is going to extend for the 80 days that he has to have Tfilos Yom Arach to have a total of 95 immersions because of Tfil Bezman and Mitzvah. And the next daf, on this daf, we'll explain further the opinion of Beis Hillel.